Big decision. People are going to be like, that's what.
For folks out there waiting for the public hearing to start, I'm going to mute you guys for a minute or so, and then we will get started. There we go. Thank you, sir. All right. Welcome, everybody, to our public hearing for our fiscal year 27 budget. It actually spans the years 26 to 27. And I'm going to walk us through the budget, any changes. I'm not sure how many. I know some folks in the room have been here before. Others have not. So what I'm going to do is step us all through the budget. And we'll take it from after that. I will invite any public comment. And tonight we do not have a recording secretary available. She had to attend to family personal business. And so what I would ask everybody is please speak carefully and clearly, identify yourself when speaking so that she can work well from the videos that we're going to be doing as well as from the audio recordings. So let me get started. I'll call the meeting to order. And we have name tags tonight. I want to thank David Cole's wife for doing this for us. So we do listen to you guys. So thank you for the suggestions. And let me do the introductions. So we have members of the Finance Committee present, myself, Ross Lally, who's a chair and member at large. We have Melissa Wieland, who is a member at large. We have David Coles from the Board of Selectmen. We have Danae Johnson from Board of Ed. And there's Ben Davies next to me from Board of Ed. And we also have Tyler Egner, who is another member at large. We have Rodney Fournier, our first selectman, who's also a member of the committee. And I will go through other folks who are here. We have David Caruso, Superintendent of Schools. And we also have our interim finance director and treasurer, Stephanie Smigala. Got to remember, I've been saying her name wrong. And I just learned the correct pronunciation today. So she is present. And then we have a large number of members of the public present. So Let me just check to make sure I don't have anybody else in the waiting rooms here. I think we are good to go. Let me just double check. And we do have one person. I'm going to admit Mark's iPad, and then I'm going to go back to this, and somebody will keep an eye on things and let me know if there's somebody waiting and get that out of the way. Okay, come on, you. Close that. Get that down here out of the way. So anyway, welcome to our meeting. And wanted to just start off with, we listened to you folks last week. We have made some changes to the budget. I will touch upon some things that we have done. There's some tweaks that we made, corrections to information that folks pointed out. So most of it is just going to be corrections because we have not voted on a final action to take with this budget yet. So let me go through things. First of all, it's like our value proposition of what we give in Bolton. So here's what we've done. These are the changes of things that we have done since our first public hearing. So we have a proposed reduction of total expenditures to reduce the mill rate increase from 9.78 to 7%. And so we did hear the fact from you that it's not reasonable to start with a 10% increase in taxes to support a 4% increase in spending. And that percentage came out of capital improvements, $72,000, $132,000 in town budget, and $308,000 in change reduction in the Board of Ed budget. And we are also going to be moving some money around that we put in the wrong place the last time. It doesn't change anything other than where it's supposed to be, for which is that $30,000 to an expended FY25 town budget. So again, we listen to you folks and we have more information. We heard about the state is releasing $170 million in ECS grants, which is those educational grants we talked about last week and which Bob Mora had spoken to. And we do not know how they're going to be distributed among all the towns of the state.
And just to add on that, it's also an additional $100 million to the municipalities themselves. So it's between both town proper and education.
Yeah, so again, more to come on that. They typically take a while. So I just want to let you guys know that if you do not see us immediately jumping to cutting everything back to zero, this is why. Because we want to find out what the right balance is given, you know, these changes to what we can expect in state funding. And so then some changes to the presentation. We updated comparisons because we heard that too, to get the latest information from different towns. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. And we corrected this thing where we had that I'm glad you do it too.
I tried to grab the right part of it and I'm missing. There we go.
Okay. So we updated, there's that slide too where there's the confusion because it said 1.5 million in one place and 2.5 in another. So these are corrections, and we've got the correct mill rate for the motor vehicles and modified that tax bill example to exclude the motor vehicle. It's on slide 14. So again, got comments from you folks, took them into account. Both on, you know, where are we thinking we're going to start with the budget and, you know, where we're going to go with it. So again, I've been through this the last time, and there's a value proposition that we all get from Bolton. It's different from each of us. If you want to put it at a high level, what the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education are trying to do is provide reliable town services, quality education, quality life, and responsible stewardship of our finances. And there's a different balance for all these from year to year. And there's also a different balance that folks in town need from each of these. Depending on your family situation, your age, your health, you may need some more of some services and less than others. So again, we are trying to do a balancing act that will get our budget passed, keep you guys getting the services you expect from the town, and also preparing for our future, because we have issues coming up that require bonding, like fixing the roof on Bolton Center School, actually two roofs. And you want to keep our bonding, our bond ratings good, because you, the better our bond ratings are, the cheaper it is for us to borrow money in the future where needed. And again, this is all a balancing act, because I know that there are needs that people have today, but if we focus only on those, you know, we screw the future. And it's the opposite is true if you focus down the road, put all your monies down there. It's like saving everything for your retirement and not enjoying your life now or taking care of current needs, you suffer. So again, it's a balancing act. And I just want folks to be aware of that. And I think that we have opportunities to work with you better in the future to achieve that balancing act. The other thing I do want to let folks know is that tonight I'm going to be asking our finance committee to work with the Board of Selectmen, the Board of Education, as well as our interim finance director to change our process. Because our process starts late in the game, and we have not had projections of income sooner in the process. So that's one thing that Stephanie is going to be working on, and is to get those projections sooner so that we know what the money situation is in terms of what are we getting in non-tax revenue, because then that informs us is what do we have then reasonably do we expect to take in tax revenue as well. So again, some changes to make us, this whole process more proactive, get you folks involved in it more upfront, and have it more forward-looking instead of waiting until the last minute and say, oh, guess what? We don't really have enough revenue to, you know, to support an increase of 4% or whatever has happened this year.
It did admit them. I'm not sure what's, why it's waiting.
Yep, I don't know either, unless more came in. No,
it just says joining.
Okay, it's like whack-a-mole. And now I'm going to have boxes popping up all over. So anyway, let me keep going with this. So the budget, as I said, we did not actually vote to reduce it. The last day that we have in this first cycle of budgets is next week at our meeting then, which is where we will have to set a budget. And as I said earlier, we're waiting to see what other information comes in. Again, not negotiating or playing games with this stuff is we do not know what the state is going to give us. We're glad that, you know, with the information that we got today, that's almost $250,000 worth of funding out there that could be available, not $250 million available to the municipalities. So again, some of this is we need to take some time to see if we get an answer to those before the end of the fiscal year and our last vote. Same thing with what are our expenses going to be for the remainder of this year. We have 2 months to go, and what additional revenues can be given up to help reduce the budget next year. So again, the total number is the same. The proposed mill rate here is the same, but we are working on starting with 7% increase in taxes. And then we're taking a look later tonight at what does it look like with a 6% increase in tax, and what does that look like in a 5% increase? Again, just to make sure that we, you know, carefully consider the options and, you know, we're better aware of what other revenues we may be getting that are non-tax. So again, here's our year-to-year budget comparison. So again, you'll see this is still the numbers we were working on. We're still showing it's approximately a 4.1% roughly. Keep it simple with a tax increase of approximately 10% associated with that. But again, this is not final. This is going to be discussed tonight and next week. Here's how our budget is allocated. Majority goes to the Board of Education. And then we have about roughly 30% going to the Board of Selectmen, the remainder that is spread among the various other things like our contingency fund, capital improvements, debt service, and so forth. So let's go on to here. Again, proposed capital spending. This is a decrease from next year. You'll find, and we're also, the selectmen are also considering, are there some projects that can be just removed from this year? They may have to be going into next year's capital plan, and are there some that perhaps, you know what, they're not necessary to the future of the town, and they're not an appropriate expenditure now. So we may be looking at further cuts on the Board of Selectmen side to their capital request. And again, you'll see there's some things down the road here too that may change as well based on what we decide to do this year. Debt service and contingency summary. Again, we are gradually paying down our debts. We want to do this because, again, there's some other expenditures coming up that we do need to go and bond for. As I said, the roof on the high school and so forth. Center school. So again, keeping you guys informed. So this is what we're paying down. High school bond is being paid down. Fulton Center High School bond was refunded and so forth. I'm not going to go into the details, but it's just basically here if you need to look at them to see how we're gradually reducing our debt and trying to get as much of that done before we go in and take on new debt.
Just for clarity, Ross, this presentation is on the town website?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Yep, this is on the town website. It's right in that front page in that big green banner that hides just about everything else, especially if you have a cell phone. So let's go. Here's the Board of Selectmen summary. Again, they are a total budget of roughly $7.6 million, which represents a 4.28% increase from last year. We have the town-by-town comparison, which has been updated to reflect current information for those towns. Board of Education, total budget proposed it's $17.7 million, which is an increase of about 4.84%. The majority of that, I believe, Superintendent Caruso, is your contractual obligations. I think it's almost, 90% of that 82. Is contractual obligations. And then here's how we fund it. And again, because we are a really heavily residential town, the majority of the tax burden falls on individual home and property owners as opposed to businesses. The only way you can change this is to get a lot more businesses in that are high in capital value and low in required services. And again, that requires a discussion among the town of what do we want to be when we grow up, because there's a lot of people who want to leave things the way they are now. And there's others who want to change it. And so this, again, it's part of a balancing act, and it's an ongoing discussion that we need to have, as well as about, you know, the schools and, you know, where do we go with them based on the challenge of declining enrollment across the whole state and more choices being available to parents as to where they can send their children. So again, here's what we did. Was with how we spent down our surplus. So again, we're going to be looking at this. We used $2.5 million last year to reduce the budget gap that we had. Our proposal this year is to use another $1 million. Consequences of this, and we're going to revisit this later on the Finance Committee, is that we were earning interest on that $2.5 million last year. It's gone. And the interest that goes with it, it's approximately $100,000 on that $2.5 million. We're going to put another $1 million in, of that surplus towards reducing the tax burden this year. That's approximately, if you kept it there the whole year, that would be about $40,000 worth of interest at current rates that we're getting. But it'll equate to about a loss of $20,000 because you'll spend it down gradually over the course of the year. So again, we're looking at potentially $120,000 less in interest income for the town as a result of doing this to help, you know, close that budget gap. So again, just wanting folks to understand that is what we're doing. And there's, you know, the consequences to that. Not having that money there generating interest. It's also not there if we were to get a good grant that comes along. That's money that's not free as a surplus that could be applied to going after a grant that requires us to spend upfront money. So a lot of moving pieces to this. I'm just trying to help in as fairly simple way as I can help you understand there's a lot of pieces, you know, to this budget that need to be balanced. And they're all trade-offs that we do. And it's just, do you like the collection of trade-offs that we're presenting? So here's our, you know, projected mill rates that if we leave things the way it is, they are now, you're going to wind up with a personal property and automobile mill rate of about 35.46%, which would be an increase of 9.78%, which basically comes down to that larger tax increase for the individual taxpayers, myself included, and a good number of the other people who are up here. And we have this calculator we put in. We updated this a little bit, and it's just basically, you want to know what you're going to pay in additional in, you know, real estate and personal property. Just go add up last year's. And I think we have another mistake in here, Stephanie. We didn't take the $1,000 out. But in any case, take your tax bills from last year, add them up, multiply them by 1.1%, and you'll know what the budget increase, your tax bill increase will be. And that is it. The rest of it is our various things that we like to put in here to show how many referenda we did last year, the boat, various other years worth of referenda. And then this is all the stuff that's required to be put in here by our charter, but basically trickles up and fills all those other charts and graphs that you saw up above. It is there if you have any detailed questions about poke around of that, you can get back to us and we can answer them. I'm not going to go through this because they're hard to wade through, and I want to let you folks online and in person have a chance to speak. So at this point, I will turn it over to the public for your comments, and I'm going to ask Mr. Coles to do the timing, okay, if you would, since you did that the last time.
And just a reminder to say name, address.
Yep. So if you could remind everybody to remember to please go give your name and address, even if we know who you are and where you are. This will help in the minutes that get, you know, put out after this. And if you could keep your comments to about 3 minutes, and we'll keep you on a timer. And once everybody's gone through, if we didn't give you enough time or you have other follow-up questions, you can jump in with those. So I'm going to keep an, I'll start with the folks in here in the room, and I will do my best to check through all of the folks who are online to see if any of you have, you know, raised a hand and have anything that you would like to say. So I will start in the room. Questions, comments, observations. You look like you are full of something you want to say. No.
I said it.
You said it all last week. Yes, Ms. DeVoe. Were you raising your hand or are you just balancing to pick up your paper?
But I kind of have a question, so I'll say that. Shari DeVoe, 111 Vernon Road in Bolton, of course. So my question is, I know that the state has some money coming in and we don't know how much we're going to get and all that.
Correct.
So when we do know, and if it's after we voted and the mill rates and all that take place, will any adjustments be made after that time?
Once we approve the budget finally, when the public passes it, that's the budget that we have to live on. We can't spend more than that money, but we can take in the additional grants if they are given to us and they become a surplus that we then can figure out what to do with next year. That's effectively what happens. But the budget will be whatever the voters approve at the time that they do.
thanks.
All right. Any other questions in the room? Yes, sir.
Scott Michaud, 29 Green Hills Road. Just to follow up on that question. So the money that, let's say the first vote happens and it's voted down, that money cannot be used to adjust the mill rate for this year?
Well, no. If the first budget gets voted down,
okay,
and we get that information in about, you know, state grants, we can make adjustments at that point.
Okay.
Typically, though, we have to adjust the budget down is what the charter requires. So again, it's okay, we could reduce it by a dollar, let's say, and then offset some of the expenses with some of that revenue. You know, offset the taxes with some, you know, some of the new grant money that came in. But we would have to reduce the budget, even if it's by a token amount under those circumstances, as the charter requires it.
The balance there being, we know that reducing by a small amount can sometimes look in the on paper like it's just a small amount, and not there's not all the work that's done behind the scenes that it is shown in this.
Yeah, because we could say, okay, we're getting a $1 million in, we reduce the budget by a dollar. I'm sure Superintendent Caruso would be happy to give it up, or Rodney Fournier would be happy to give that dollar up. And then we could recognize some or all of that grant money as additional revenue, and thereby lower the taxes, maybe put something back into the capital plan or something like that. There's a number of options we could take, but it would still result in a lower tax rate.
Okay, and just to follow up on that, because I know historically Bolton hasn't done well with some of the changes. I remember looking in the paper and you look at the change for Bolton and it was either the same or slightly lower. It wasn't usually much of a difference for some of the grants when they released money like that. And some of this money is one time, like for example, the municipal aid, if they were to give a grant for that.
Those grants could be changed at any time by the legislature and the governor.
I think it's intended to be a one-time grant, though, to municipal aid. And if it is a one-time grant, then next year, if that's used to kind of lower the mill rate or kind of take care of some of this, are we kind of then having another issue next year? We have to take that into account.
Yes.
I hope you do. And I do appreciate, by the way, listening to your call from the meeting after the town meeting, the effort that you put in to discuss and think about it. And I do appreciate that you're...
Now we hear you guys.
I appreciate it.
So in addition, we don't have any surplus funds after this budget.
At the moment.
So wouldn't it be a bad thing just to put that money in surplus?
Just for clarification, you're correct. There is a chance we don't get any additional money from the state.
Yeah.
So we're certainly hopeful that we do, but we may not.
So we should all email who?
Your state representatives and state senators and the governor.
Yeah.
And the governor.
Says Scott, just say your name again following
us. Scott Michaud, are you sure? I am. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, it looks like it. I guess it's okay.
You said that there's no surplus for next year. I'm kind of having a difficult time following that. So if the budget is passed this year, the surplus that we had from last year, which was less than the year before, we're going to be short a considerable amount of money next year already.
Yes. So that's why we have to be careful with any grant monies as to what we do, because, you know, how do we spend them this year versus do we use them to close that gap next year? And that's something I asked Stephanie to take a look at, is what has changed in the last couple of years. I know that one item is we were not getting that rebate of motor vehicle tax money from the state. So that was approximately $700,000, $800,000 a year. But the gap is bigger than that. So I'm asking you to take a look, see what else, something else changed, in the background. And because of the way we were doing things, we weren't looking forward to catch that kind of stuff. And so that's one reason we're looking at trying to change how we do it. But you're completely right. We have to assume in some cases we may not get the money in the future. What do we do?
So I just feel if we're going to, let's say the vote passes and it's 7%, but we're still looking at another 10% next year again, that's just not really sustainable to me. So no. I do appreciate the effort you're
doing. No, I agree with you 100%, because that's one thing we're looking at is the fact that if nothing else changes, next year we're going to be in exactly the same place. And it's not sustainable for us as a town, to your point, to keep doing things this way.
So that could be rough.
The unfortunate thing of the vote that's coming up is the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen may still have givebacks based on their budget, wherever it ends up. We don't know where it's going to end up yet because we're still 2 months out. So there could possibly be givebacks, which would also help the budget.
And part of the discussion in the Board of Selectmen meeting before this was also talking about, like, how do we work on putting in projections? How do we work with the finance department to make sure that we're getting the information that we need to make these decisions when we can still make a change versus when it's too late?
And I'm looking online if anybody online has any questions or comments. I got a hand raise. Katie DesRosiers, if I pronounced her name correctly.
Hi, it was close enough. Hi, I'm Katie DesRosiers, 47 Golf Lane. And I'm just, you know, forgive me, I'm just sort of catching up. At the beginning of the presentation, you mentioned that changes were reflected in this presentation to go down to a 7% increase. But throughout the presentation, it still looks 9.78. Is that, am I correct in what I'm seeing quickly?
You're correct in what you're seeing, and it maybe I didn't make it clear, and this is my case that I apologize. We informally discussed but did not vote on what would a 7% tax rate increase look like as opposed to the 10% that's, you know, in the budget. We didn't vote on it. So the, you know, we just talked about it and what that would mean to the mill rate. So because we didn't actually formally approve budget cuts, we left the presentation the same.
Okay. In terms of next steps, would there be a follow-up meeting? Would there be another presentation, another to get the accurate information prior? So what are the next steps in this process?
By the, let me just look at the budget calendar so I make sure that I give you the correct numbers. We have another special meeting next week on May 7th. We have a meeting tonight after this special meeting, after the public hearing tonight. We could approve, we're going to discuss the budget and we will look at other options for reductions in the tax rate increase, so that we're going to look at what does it look like at 7%? How much does the Board of Ed give back? And how much do the Board of Selectmen have to, you know, give back or reduce their ask? And then we're going to look at what does 6% look like and 5%. And if we do not make a discussion, you know, decision tonight, which I am going to recommend we do not, because we need to find out more information about what's happening with these grants and leftover monies, we do have to make a decision by our special meeting next week, because we have to adopt a budget. The Finance Committee, that we, has to adopt the budget per the charter by May 10th. So the last last time we'll discuss this will be next week.
And just for, again, I thank you for your patience as I ask these questions.
Oh, no. This is confusing.
You had mentioned that we had used $2.5 million of the reserve fund last year and that you were planning on using $1 million this year, which is accounted for already in this 9.78 increase. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And where can I find out the status of the reserve fund, like as in how much is left? Because, you know, I know we're trying to stop this gap, but the gap keeps growing, so it doesn't seem a sustainable practice. So where can I find that information?
Do you have that information yet, Stephanie? We're still working on that.
So essentially, we have to build some reporting that captures, you know, we have to just pull some data together that captures how much revenue we've collected in excess of what we budgeted for, coupled with the expenditures that we've spent less than the budget that we accounted for. So it's not something that's historically been standard from a reporting standpoint, but something we're looking to build out in the near term.
To make it a little bit simpler is that at the moment, we are spending everything that's left in our budget surplus. We just completed an audit, and the amount of money, the approximately $1 million, is what the auditor said we had at the end of the last fiscal year in surplus. So as of this moment, that's all that we know that we have, is, you know, guaranteed is that amount.
Okay.
And
And
I'm sorry if I'm running out of my time. I guess I appreciate the response to forward looking and trying to pull the report. And I guess I'm wondering, and maybe Mr. Fournier could address this. I'm not sure who the appropriate question would be to. Why was this not done beforehand? In you know, a phrase I use in my house, I'm not trying to sound facetious in any way, but you know, it's not a surprise. We spent this money last year. I'm wondering, I'm glad that we're taking the steps forward. I guess I'm just sort of curious, how did we get here?
we're all asking that question. We haven't found that 2.5 million yet, but some of it came from lack of ECS funding and lack of income from the Columbia students, the car tax debacle. There's several sources to lose money.
And just as a taxpayer, where would be the appropriate place for me to get more information on how that happened in the future? Where will that be addressed?
Stephanie was going to work on something for that. We
Yeah.
haven't seen it. There has been nothing generated on it yet. The best place would maybe be the auditor's
Well,
report.
I guess I rather mean in terms of public meeting, what public meeting do I need to pay attention to understand how this came to be and what steps we're taking to prevent it and accountability.
This would be the meeting right
Yeah,
here.
the Finance Committee.
It's
But we
part of
don't have
this.
the answers right now. So will there be a meeting in the future where I can understand more?
Why don't we talk about that tonight at our Finance Committee meeting? And if you want to stick around for that, we will address that, we will address that tonight as to what we understand, why did that happen, and what are we going to do to make sure it doesn't happen again? Because part of it is very simply that we did not do budget projections in a timely manner, if not at all. And so not budget, but revenue forecasts.
Right.
So we will talk about that tonight. Just to answer your question, we will start that conversation tonight.
Thank you very much. And thank you, everyone, for answering those questions. I appreciate
David,
that.
you have a
Yeah, I
comment?
was going to say, I think we've started that in previous weeks, but we haven't gotten very far. So we'll
Right.
continue that.
Yes.
All right. I thank you guys for your time and effort in putting all of the numbers together and trying to make the best out of the situation. Thank you for communicating it.
You're welcome. And don't forget about our coffee and conversation coming up in May 26th.
Yes, May 26th, 5:30 after the first referenda. So we could all either sit down and congratulate each other for a past budget or start talking about what do we need to do for next steps. I don't have a crystal ball, so we'll see what happens. I think I got one other, was there one other hand up online?
No, I think that was the same hand
Okay,
that
same
jumped one
hand.
down.
Any other questions in the room? Yes, sir. You finally.
Eric Lanta, Lake Street. Your pie chart you had up there showing revenues from real estate,
Personal property.
all personal property. Do you
This
ever
one?
get a number on the separate from the real estate, which is 80 some odd percent, of what percentage is commercial? I think a lot of people would like to know that for one good reason. They feel they're paying everything that the commercial end of it, because they drive around town or boards, and I won't name which ones, say we don't have enough commercial. I think that would be helpful.
So,
I don't know if
okay.
it's anywhere in the budget. I couldn't find it.
I don't think it
It
is.
is.
No,
Is it
I
too
think we
difficult to?
aggregate it.
Sorry, do you post a top 10 taxpayer
Yeah,
list?
we do, but it's not accurate. And I've talked to the assessor about it because
Because.
we have different names for the same entities and stuff like that. So
But it's
it's
still
not
commercial.
accurate, but we do have one that I've asked her to please correct because of, it's basically the data behind it is not accurate and you can't just do a canned report.
I'm not talking about listing who they
No,
are.
I know, but this part of it helps you
That's
get.
the percentage.
Yeah, to get it there, we have to make sure they're identified properly, that you have a consistent naming and such. But I think we can certainly take a look at this and see if we can get that by the next meeting. We can talk to our assessor.
So we have I have a little mill rate calculator here that has the real estate value at $541 million. So, and then the personal property, which I would expect is who pays personal property from something at their house.
Oh,
so that would be
motor vehicle.
No, and then there's motor vehicles.
The motor vehicles separate.
So motor vehicles, $55 million. The real estate is $540 million, and the personal property, which I believe is people paying for their equipment in their commercial facilities, is $20 million. Now, what their property values are is probably quite a bit there too. So. They pay an additional just for their personal property.
But what we can do is we can get a breakdown by, you know, the different property categories, so we can get, you know, the whole breakdown by personal property, commercial, and private.
The pie chart.
Yep.
People are going to
just
get them.
We'll add another pie chart.
No, just instead of full property tax,
right?
Just make it.
Check it out.
We could do that. Yep. No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because then it makes the conversation more real about what the mix is.
Right.
So it could be residential property, commercial property.
Yep.
And commercial.
I see Stephanie is scribbling away. She's going to be talking to Kara Fishman, our assessor, about it.
That work for you.
That's her job. Any other questions? Yes, Sherry.
Sherry DeVoe. Vernon Road again. My question is, I'm hearing that there's a lot of projects on the agenda for Bolton, and I think initially some of them were being done by our in-house, you might say, folks, but there's so many with a timeline that there's a kind of a little bit of a rumor going around that they might have to be outsourced, which when I hear outsource, I think more money. So I'm just curious on, and I didn't go through the PowerPoint that you had here or the budget, but I'm just curious on, is there a list of the projects that are on the agenda for this year? And how is it looking that what was budgeted for them to take place, they will still take place? Once again, the one that's closest to me is the stop signs with Vernon and Corey. So I'm just curious if that was taken into consideration.
I'm sure it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Because some of those projects you talk about, some are formal projects and we have the capital assets for them are allocated. And then there's others that just come out of department budgets to get done. So yours might come out of the highway department as opposed to there being a grant for it.
Yeah, there was no grant for your...
Yeah. Yes.
And as far as outsourcing goes, my understanding is that the engineering for all of this, it does go to a specific firm that the town works with. Is that right, Robbie?
That's correct. Yes. They're very familiar with the town.
Yeah. But it's not like some go to that firm and some go elsewhere. It's just everything goes there specifically.
So if it's on the agenda, it's a good chance it'll take place then. It's on the calendar.
If it's on the calendar, right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
it helps to get asked about everyone.
If we don't,
you need to be
get cut more. If the selectmen's budget gets cut significantly yet, then who knows? I can't promise that. But the one you're talking about wasn't that big. I think it was like 30,000 or something.
And the preliminary work is done.
Yeah, the engineering's all done.
Correct. Yeah. I have a shovel.
Well, then move the telephone pole.
That's the hard part.
The parking pixel.
Yes, Mary. Mary, could you identify yourself?
I'm sorry, Mary Tribune, 44 Road. That 30,000 you just mentioned regarding the stop sign, right?
The stop sign, I think it was.
Is that for the engineering part, or that's what we're considering?
Off the top of my head, I think it was for the whole thing, the engineering and the construction.
And there was a study that was done prior to the engineering, right?
Yes.
That would have been.
And Jim Rupert just joined too, so he can answer questions now.
Oh, okay.
I hate that intersection, by the way.
Hey, Jim Rupert,
Jim, are you available to answer a question?
Yes, I'm sorry, but I didn't hear the question.
The Vernon Road stop sign project, we already have the money allocated for that. Was that in this year's or next year's?
Our intent was to use town aid road funds to build it. We have done the surveying, and we're going to be starting on the engineering on that as soon as we get done with the town green project.
So it's just surveying that's been done, right? Engineering.
So that sounds like it's more of an FY27 project then, Jim.
My hope is that we can do it late summer, early fall.
So FY27.
We're nearly well. So it's, yes, that's accurate. I'm sorry. Yes,
no, sorry,
it's not going to happen between now and the end of June. That's correct.
Okay. So I misspoke. The engineering is not done.
No, just the survey. We've gotten started on the engineering, but it is not complete. We have a super tight deadline on other projects. So, you know, we only have just so much engineering time. And so we're trying to, you know, split that up as equitably as possible. And the Vernon Road project is a high priority for us.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? I don't know if any of the other folks who are up here at the front of the room would want to add any color commentary at this point. I'm not seeing any other questions. Yes, Scott, he's back.
Yeah, I'm still back. I'm not sure if anyone else is thinking the same thing, but is this just to put up a stop sign that's costing $30,000?
No.
It's redesigning the intersection.
The whole intersection.
Oh, yeah, because right now it's one of those.
I'm sitting here thinking you're paying $30,000 to put a stop sign.
No, it's one of those intersections at a diagonal.
Maybe add the light.
Yeah.
No, it's one of those old intersections with a V type of intersection, which worked when you did horse carts and, you know, and buggies and that stuff, and it's not appropriate with cars.
Right.
Yeah, so you got to make it a right angle entrance and put new signage and clear the, you know, line of sight and so forth.
It's like a sneak in at night and
all right,
stick something in there.
Hey, Jim, who can you put Scott in touch with in the highway department to take care of this? He said he's going to sneak in at night and help you out.
Oh, I'd be Chip.
Okay,
thank you, Scott. We appreciate it.
Call AJ. Anything else? Any comments here in the room? And I'm not seeing any here. So I'm going to ask, going once, comments, going twice, going thrice. Then I will close our public hearing. And thank you all. And we're going to take a short break of about 5 minutes, and then we will resume with our special meeting of the Finance Committee. It'll be on the same Zoom. So if you folks want to stick around who are here already, either in the room or online, we're going to take five. And so I'll give you a couple more. Let's do 8:10. We'll be back here. And I'm going to mute this in the meanwhile and stop sharing.
colleague.
No, we still got Scott here.
Oh,
can you reach sideways?
Okay. Welcome back, everyone. I'm calling together to order our special meeting of the Bolton Finance Committee, and it is 8:10. And again, we have the same people present in the room, but because this is a different meeting, I will go through it all again. And I am Ross Lally, Chair of the Finance Committee and Member at Large. Our other members at large are Tyler Egner, who is the Vice Chair, and Melissa Wieland, who is a member at large. And then let's see, we also have from the Board of Selectmen members, we have David Coles, who's a selectman, and Rodney Fournier, first selectman. From the Board of Ed, we have Danae Johnson, and I got her name right twice in a row. And Ben Davies. And as other guests that we have present who are participating in this discussion, our superintendent of schools, David Caruso. We also have our interim CFO, Stephanie Smigala. And who else do I need to mention? James Rupert, our town administrator. And I think
because we just voted on this, the interim title doesn't become effective until May 2nd or May 4th at the end of the week. But just for clarification on the meeting notes.
Yep. And let's see what else we have on here. So I think we can get going with the agenda. We have public participation. So any of you who came up with any ideas since the public hearing or were not able to attend the public hearing, this is your opportunity to speak. And we would just ask you to hold your initial comments to 3 minutes or less. I'm looking online and do not see any hands up. And I am looking at Scott in front of me, who's in the audience, and his hands are down. He asked his questions at the last meeting. So seeing no questions, I will move past public participation to ongoing business. So discussion as a result of the public hearing.
No change.
I think we're headed in the right direction. I wouldn't say no change, but yeah, in the right direction.
Can I ask a question?
You certainly can. You're a member of the Finance Committee in good standing.
Looking at the changes that you made, that were made to the budget between the last meeting and tonight's meeting, I remember seeing the Board of Ed number and the Board of Selectmen number as proposed reductions.
Which is what they are. Right. They're still proposed.
Right. Right. Everything that's proposed. How did the capital improvements number come about? Because I remember we had talked about a different amount.
What did you remember as an amount?
140.
Okay. Because I had remembered something around 100, and then we during the Board of Selectmen meeting it came up to 75.
140. I had that.
But I think we were working with 6 point
and got 140
at the minimum.
We're trying to get 7%, I think, was the end.
Yeah, right. That's 7%.
So you made some tweaks after the meeting.
We agreed to reduce the town and Board of Ed increases by 1.75% each, and then adjust capital to get to 7% and below.
Oh, okay. So that's why it came in less.
So that was the tweak done after the back to.
Somewhere in the low sixes.
Right. Yeah, because I thought we had talked about making the capital, putting the capital budget at that minimum.
Right.
That was something that we did model, but something that we discussed is, you know, do we have to go that far to rebalance the mix between the town and Board of Ed budgets and capital so we still can invest.
Since it's probably the most pertinent to this committee, can you outline what the mm-hmm. changes were to the capital budget that we talked about during the Board of Selectmen meeting?
Yep. For capital, we took $75,000 out, which was half of the cost of the building and grounds pickup truck. We moved half the cost to next year, 2028. We removed the Heritage Farm restoration project, which is $25,000, and the Indian Notch Park storage shed we moved out.
So knowing that truck for buildings and grounds in particular is pretty old and John's already rebuilt it once, I assume that there was conversations with John about that truck in particular.
And Jim's on, but he did have a conversation with John.
I figured, just wanted to make sure.
What he was comfortable with modifying, and that was something that came up. I don't know if he could speak more to that.
Yeah. Yes, I did have a conversation with John. He thought that mechanically the truck was capable of lasting another year, and that the interim work that we spent last year would get us through another year. We did some body work to make it last another year. Right. So he felt comfortable with that. It was actually his suggestion.
Hopefully we don't have as harsh of a winter this year, but I understand that John's pretty open about that kind of thing.
So just a clarification, you said that was a total of 75,000, yeah, right? In the presentation, it's 72,000.
That's the expenditure. We had to explain this. It's the expenditure change between what we had proposed previously in the expenditure budget and what we get after. Yeah, I think it's probably closer to 72. I think the 75 was just an approximation from a comment standpoint.
Sorry. No, it's okay. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. So all those three projects were kind of split and moved, or was the farm restoration completely just
25 grand was in FY27's budget. We've removed that 25,000. There is there are dollars in future years that we didn't modify at this point.
And I think they have an existing balance, don't they? On the capital project for here. No.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't ask. I thought it was 80,000. I thought they had 80,000.
It doesn't necessarily help the project that they.
No, it doesn't. No. It's just we're not leaving.
No, I understand your point of like there is something to work with if they want it.
Okay. Any other discussions related to the public hearing?
Well, I think there's definitely a strong desire to kind of have some better communication with regard to our revenue throughout the year, rather than just being surprised when it comes to creating a budget. And maybe having ongoing communication with the town to make sure that they're informed of our status just as much as we want to be when we create these budgets.
And I think that we should hold ourselves to some level of accountability of figuring out how we're going to make up some of that surplus in addition to making sure that this 10% jump doesn't happen again next year.
So I would say that even if we do not identify any savings that can be done immediately, it would behoove the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education to continue discussions that they can find savings during the year, because then that can be applied to helping the situation next year, either by just reducing your ask overall because you found some efficiency, or there's money that can be used to, as you know, added into our surplus to give us more flexibility.
So the bigger the cuts, the smaller the ask, the less givebacks there are at the end of the year, which we've always kind of depended on. So once that goes away.
Yeah, well, the other part of that is too, if, like, rather than identifying all of the savings at the end of the year, if you can identify them throughout the year, yes, they're still accumulating money either way, but knowing like, hey, this is what's going to be accumulating, and we can potentially account for that differently.
Like you said, it's just better to do it ongoing and just have a continuous improvement, and even just start with how can you cut 5% from your budget this year and still get your work done would be a good thing to ask departments, for example, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And I do like the thought of breaking down the taxes.
I had an idea. I don't know where this fits into the discussion, so I'm just going to bring it up now. Something that came up earlier. The revenue from Indian Ops, does that go to the recreation income?
Jim, you want to speak on that?
Yes, it does. It goes into the recreation round fund.
And what are the current rates for Indian Notch, both town residents and non-town residents? Because I know most of the people who come in there are non-town residents, so that's why I'm asking.
No, I don't know that information off the top of my head. Sorry.
It might be good to look at that, some of that information, because small things like that can make a large impact throughout the summer, given the number of people who come there on the weekends specifically.
Yeah, I know. I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but the Board of Selectmen, we did take, I wouldn't say a deep dive, but we did look at that and we did adjust the rates. I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before.
I think so.
Not Can we take a note to potentially look at that again sometime in the next two meetings to just see, like, hey, does it make sense to look at that again for this summer?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
We raised the rates for the rental at Herrick Park as well.
Right. Someone pointed out, I think it was in this meeting or Board of Selectmen, like, not a lot of people know that you can rent that building out.
Yeah, but it's pretty well booked out. Okay. They book it pretty good. Yeah.
Now, if it's that well booked, maybe you can increase the rates.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, actually, it might be good to add the same discussion. Just look at some of those revenue rates that are in town, like, and just so that we know what the rates are and what we might.
So let's some of the stuff is getting more into what I wanted to talk about under communication. Yeah. No, that's fine. I just want to keep us on track so we can get out of here, and then also make it easier for Mary, who is going to be working from a recording, to understand what we talked about, because she's usually pretty good about asking when she's here, and she's going to be a little bit of a disadvantage. So anything else directly related to public hearing? In that case, I go on to a discussion on our fiscal year 26 and 27 revenues and expenditures.
Expenditures?
Yeah. Item B, ongoing business, FY 26-27 revenue and expenditures.
Oh, proposed.
So it's proposed. Sorry. And so the thing to look at that is, I spoke with Stephanie. I think that we overestimated the amount of interest income that we were working by. So we need to revisit that. And we had guesstimated that we're going to finish this year up with $350,000 worth of interest, more or less. So assuming that number is good, part of that interest came from $2.5 million that we're not going to have next year. So if you compound that and we don't even change the interest rate at 3.75, you're going to, just for the sake of argument, you're going to have about $100,000 worth of interest less, because that money is not going to be there. So then we are $350,000, so take $100,000 out of that. And then you go down to, we're taking $1 million of the surplus and are going to spend that down over the year, next year. So that will not be there in its entirety to earn interest. So I'm going to assume you spend it down at an even rate, so your average balance is $500,000. You'll lose about $20,000 worth of interest right there. So I think that we I think we're really talking more in the range of $230,000 worth of interest next year.
What did we carry? What did we carry?
We were saying that we were going to do $350,000 this year. Next year we had what?
300. It was 375 in the adopted budget for FY 26, and the revised is 340.
Yeah.
And we're just at, and then through March we're just over 300.
Yeah, so we need to just, I think we really need to adjust. It's going to mean, less revenue, which means it's going to be more that we have to cut in order to keep where we were, about $120,000.
So the earlier we can identify some of those ways to make up gaps in the budget, potentially, the more we can get back some of that interest or build that surplus back.
Yeah. So would you work that into the calculations there?
Yeah, what do we want? Want to cut 100 or 120?
So I want to go in $120,000 less than what we're estimating for closing this year out with.
Okay.
So if we're estimating we're going to get 350,000, then you would take.
Hold on, I'm just thinking what? Part of that calculation is that we were what, 6 weeks late on getting
our money
tax bills in.
Yeah.
So
that was $60,000 there.
Right, but so some of that interest will be made back up because that.
Assuming that we don't do the same
thing. Well, okay. Being hopeful that we don't do the same thing again. So I don't want to overshoot in the other direction and then regret going too far down on interest.
So then if you wanted to put back in the 60,000, then you could say that's approximately another 20,000 or so interest you'd get back, and that might offset.
It might bring us back to the 300 number?
Yeah. The 250, rather.
Right.
Well, that 60 is based on that 2.5 million sitting, 3.5 million sitting there, right?
In the last 3 months, we've been averaging $29,000 a month in interest. So if I, let's assume we get the 29,000 for March, in addition to the 300 we already have, that puts us at 387. So
I think Jill had mentioned there was some other large spending that we were going to be doing too, which would take some interest out of that calculation.
Yeah, but then we also talked about at the board stock meeting the delta between the change in, for lack of a better term, salaries that happened on May 1st.
Right.
So that's a 30,000 delta that goes in the other direction.
When did she make the payments on the bond?
Or 20,000, 21.
FY for which the fire truck.
Well, that's a March spend too.
Yeah.
That and that and the bond for the school and the sewer.
I'm not sure, but I can't get that answer.
Yeah, so I think it would be prudent to take about instead of the 120,000 that I was proposing less than this year, then maybe do 100,000.
I would say, 90 or 100 would be.
So then you would be talking, instead of getting the 350 this year and the same next year, you'd be talking about 250 or 270 next year.
It's a 70 something about 375 or 380. Is that this year?
Yeah, that's what I was projecting, assuming we hold at the 29, 30 grand, but that may change.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
So I would just say, for the sake of argument tonight, and if we can get some more information, we can revisit it next week. We don't have to necessarily do the calculations, but we do need to revisit it next week because that's when we're going to set the budget. So I just think we have to be prudently careful with estimating
revenue. Joe also, I believe, spoke to in June not getting the entire amount of interest because of the payment that goes out to the teachers.
Yeah. Yes. There's that balloon payment. So those were the large expenditures. So that's why she was cautioning us that it probably wouldn't keep going at the same rate.
That's early June.
So you're saying carry 250 for the interest?
That's my suggestion right now, is to change it to 250 in interest for next year. And then if we get some additional information by next week, we can revisit it.
Just to clarify, right now we have 300 built in for the
next year.
Yeah. So we just take out 50.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's assuming the interest rates stay the same. If they do anything, they'll stay the same or go down. I can't imagine them going up.
You can be hopeful, Ross.
We can. It depends on, are you saving or are you spending?
I think we're doing both, unfortunately.
Modeling standpoint, how do you want to handle the expenditures when I do that? Which version do we want to go with? When modifying the interest, I can do it for all of them, the 765.
I think you need to do it for all of them. What do you think?
Yeah, it would be good to see all of them.
And again, as I had mentioned when we had a discussion with the selectmen about this, and as I mentioned to the public who was here, I don't want us to race down to the lowest amount we can do to get to 5% tax increase, because we may get additional funding. Mm-hmm. And from the state, and we may also find additional savings between now and the end of the year, fiscal year. So again, it's not to, you know, play games with the public. It's trying to be prudent about it, and just the fact that the closer we get to the end of the fiscal year, the more we know about certain aspects of our finances. Anything else other folks want to go over for the 2026? And
I have one question for Jim. Jim, does your expenditure change with the title change effective Friday or Monday or whatever it is, based on the intern compensation then coming back as part of that title change for the finance department?
Last year's three fiscal.
Sorry, my fat fingers will have a hard time finding the unmute button. I apologize for that.
That's
so
right.
I just to be clear, David, I want to make sure I understand what you're asking. Are you asking if there's going to be additional funding left over based on changes in personnel?
That's correct.
So yes, we will spend less money this year for the current finance director's position, which will become on Monday the 4th, an interim finance director's position. And the money that we thought we would spend out of the selectman's budget for a part-time administrative assistant to specifically work on budget for us, we won't be spending that money any longer this year. I haven't calculated what those savings are yet, but that will be something that Steffi and I can work on in the next few days to see what additional monies we could give back related to that.
Since that number is now known, can we try to just make sure that we have that accounted for properly in the number?
And it's also known, and it's going to be less than the package that we paid our previous CFO, because there's no benefits associated with it, if I recall correctly from the discussion.
There is benefits. No. There is benefits.
There will be.
Yeah.
There will be.
Going to be an employee.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to make her an employee.
We can't keep her as a subcontractor. Yeah. We can't keep her under the part-time.
Just wanted to clarify, because I heard two different things.
Okay. Yeah. No, it was part of the amended motion.
Okay.
So. So for the 3 months, if it's $1,000 a month, less.
I know it's a small number.
In that range.
Yeah, I know it's a small number, but it does make a difference.
Yeah. Oh, I just don't want people thinking we're talking 20 grand.
Understood. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
Any further discussion on the FY26-27 revenue and expenditures? So we can go on to discussion of this year's revenue and expenditures. And I guess if the Board of Selectmen or Board of Education identified any other surplus funds that could be used to offset taxes next year.
I guess technically my question would have come in on this one, but I guess it affects both. So at least at the moment.
Yeah. So I guess that was part of that discussion.
Yep.
Any further, you know, comments on this topic? So then let's go on to communication.
I know it's tricky. It brought up that this presentation still reflects the 9.78, because that's what the finance committee approved to this point. So the presentation can't be updated really until we vote on a new number, right?
Correct.
Okay. So
this presentation will stay the same until next week, when we are forced to make a decision on the 10th.
Technically, we haven't addressed item 4C yet. So
actually, it's the 7th. We have the meeting. The 10th is when it has to be done by.
Which is a Sunday.
Yes. So that's why we're doing it on the 7th. So the other question that we want to talk about is, how did we get here? And part of this is we've just been following a process without challenging it and seeing if it's appropriate since I was here. There's certain constraints started here. It's over 6 years. And it was basically Board of Ed does their, you know, projected spending, Board of Selectmen does that. And then that all winds up coming to be presented here sometime in, you know, the March or April timeframe. And at that point is when we finally look at, gee, what revenue is there to support this budget ask? And then that's where we've gotten surprised in the last 2 years, because this process will only work as long as nothing changed that let it work up to that point. So obviously something changed, and that was the exposure from following a process that didn't really do look aheads. And I will just mention that we did talk with Stephanie about the criticality of doing projections. And I will also just mention that since a previous CFO has stated this in public, I am not saying anything behind her back. She did not feel comfortable doing projections and looking forward. She felt they were too complicated to do and that she would be held accountable for them. And I'm only repeating what she has said in public, same as some comments that our assessor had made in public. And so this is something that we cannot keep doing. We need to start right after this is done. And I already talked to Stephanie about it. She has to get us through this part of the budget. So it's on the back burner until we get through, you know, this budget done. But that's one of the things that I've asked her to do. And the other thing I would ask this group to do is let's take a look at what can we do to make this process more smooth. The charter says that we have to start this process no later than, was it October 1st, Stephanie? I think it was October 1st. And we have to finish it up, you know, as we are doing it now. There is no reason that we can't start sooner than those dates that are in the charter with looking at what does our revenue look like next year. So I'm going to need the help of this committee. As I mentioned before, I'm going to be out, you know, in June for surgery, and I won't be available for at least a week or two, and then gradually getting back. And Tyler will be in charge, you know, of these meetings at that time. But we need to get started with this, and we need to put some group together as soon as we can, a subcommittee that's going to work on this. I'd be happy to help or advise on that, just because I happen to be some of the, you know, more experienced, but I'd like to make sure we get some good representation on that from, you know, ideally we should have a member at large, a member from the Board of Ed, and a member from the selectman. And you should be open to looking at just doing things differently. You'd work with Stephanie on this. And what can we do to just start this sooner? What do you need to better understand what the revenue is going to be? You know, all that good stuff and anything else you guys can think of.
I think it's important to remember that projections are really just a helpful tool. And we're not going to necessarily hold somebody accountable for a projection, right? But I think, and what I've heard from the public and at these meetings, that the coffee and conversations have gone very well this year. And to be able to have something to put forward to the town that is a projection, I think just keeps them in the loop. And then it doesn't end up being like this again this year, where we have, you know, budgets that we crafted that we thought were responsible budgets, and it ends up being a higher tax increase than that. I think we don't want to catch people by surprise.
And we don't want to look stupid the way we do when this stuff happens,
right?
To be blunt about it.
But I think just having that as a helpful tool, rather than just, you know, holding somebody accountable if numbers change or whatnot, I think that will go a long way towards earning the public trust in that we are, you know, doing this all along and not just coming up with a number, you know, right as we're getting to the end line here.
So let me ask Jim. Jim's got his hand raised. So I want to just recognize him.
I had something as well.
So I think that is an excellent idea. But the other thing that Stephanie and I have chatted about, and I think we've discussed it as a group a little bit too, is the capital budget. We really could really spend a little more time putting some thought into that capital budget, because, you know, what we end up doing, I think, a lot, and again, I'm preaching to the choir because we discussed this, but I think it's important to have this discussion openly because we have a pretty good audience, people here listening, we can really put some thought. If we take a little bit of time, we can really put some thought, because what inevitably happens is we put all of our wish list things in the capital budget for this year, and we end up pushing things to the following year. And so if you look at the following year, that column is very crowded with stuff that we pushed off. So I think if we really spend a little bit more time planning, we can have a better, thoughtful document that really helps us also with long-range planning.
Yeah, I think we owe that to the town as well.
We owe it to the town. It's also the charter shifted the responsibility for that process to the finance committee as well. So that's something that we need to add that to, you know, add that to our to-do list as to how do we make that process better in a way that Jim Rupert has suggested.
So in terms of the information communications, one of the things just even from last year to this year that I noticed was just the improvement in graphics in the budget presentation. And if we can take that and move that also into the weekly or biweekly or whatever it is graphics that we get as part of the finance committee packet, a lot of those graphics or wannabe graphics are so hard to read. And when questions were asked, it wasn't, oh, here's how we can fix it. It was, oh, here's why it's okay as is. And that mindset of why it's okay as is isn't going to move us in a positive direction as a town. And hopefully we can, as we go to fill the position with in the future, make sure that we, you know, stress the importance of, hey, when the town wants to move forward with something, and being adaptable to that rather than the first answer being, no, we can't do that because.
Yeah, it's good to have the how can we make it happen within, you know, a responsible budget.
Yep.
How and when and to what extent. The other thing, too, that I've noticed that we are not very good at is creating meaningful, measurable plans where we do not say, here's what we are going to do by such and such a date at such and such a cost and to what extent, what are the what are the definitions of successful completion and having an owner for that, you know, an individual, it can't be a committee. It's got to be somebody owns it and they're running the group. They're reporting back on why we got things done, why we didn't, and what we need to do, you know, and asking what do they need for help from either the selectmen or the finance committee. We're very good at having meetings and, oh yeah, that's great. And then we just go.
Then we have the same meeting 2 weeks later.
Right.
Yeah. And then we have the same meeting and everybody's glad that, oh gee, we've had these great ideas and they don't really happen unless somebody owns them and is held accountable for them. So that would go for us as well as the selectmen and the, you know, Board of Education. Anybody who does this, we need to have a context that explains what we're doing and who owns it and why it's getting done or not. Because if we don't hold each other accountable, nothing is going to happen. And if we don't challenge the status quo of why do we do this stuff, nothing is going to happen. We'll just keep being here every year. And we owe it to, we were elected to do a job and we owe it to the townspeople to, you know, to do that. They want us to be open about this and accountable. And we have to keep that in mind with what we do, whether it's how often do we communicate, whether it's public comment, you know, whatever. I just really feel we owe it to them. And it's the right thing to do. You won't get in trouble for doing it. You won't get reelected if you don't. And we shouldn't be here with the goal of getting reelected. We should be here for the goal of doing things right and what we were elected for. And then getting reelected will follow more or less automatically if you do the right things, I think. Not guaranteed, but you're more likely to have success, and that's regardless of what party you're in. And what else? Oh, Stephanie.
David, on the topic of moving some of the graphics to the finance committee monthly meetings, are you open or available to connect with me just to discuss what you have in mind so I can kind of work on that design?
Yeah.
All right, cool. And Gosh, there's something else related to, oh, all of this too is we really need to have the selectmen as well as the Board of Ed and the Finance Committee have just really coming up with what can we collectively do different. It may not be implemented in time to change this budget, but it will get done during the year and help with the next year's budget. And I was just going to just say that I talked to Superintendent Caruso, and he is open to talking to the selectmen about and the town administrator about possibly accommodating some town staff, you know, in spaces in the schools. There's, you know, how you go about it, you know, I don't know what that's going to look like. And I know you have your constituency to help, you know, sell any ideas to Superintendent. But again, it's something he had mentioned to me, and I'm just going to throw it out on the table and ask the selectmen to get together with him, because you can free up the Troopers building, possibly. I don't know, you know, and maybe you can free up the residents of the trailer over there, the registrars and the finance department. That's a chunk of change every year. You know, there's just things that we can talk about. And there may be some, you know, money up front that's needed to secure access and so forth if we're going to be using certain spaces in the schools.
About to ask about that, because I know the registrar of voters needs to have,
you know, we need storage. Yeah. You know, there has to be a dialogue, right, about it. And we need to have the conversation, say, how can we make it work and approach it from that and see if we can do it.
Yeah.
Quick question from the school standpoint. Availability is there at the moment? Like, is it offices, is it classrooms? Like, what's open or what could be shifted around to be open?
It's a good question.
You've got a lot of moving pieces.
I don't have exact spaces right now. It would be a matter of, like, what are we looking to provide for spaces? Is it an office space? Is it three office spaces?
Is there public access required?
Then I got to get creative and see.
So we need to give the requirements first. It would behoove, you know, the Board of Selectmen to give the requirements, and I could work on it, you know, provide the requirements for the registrars, and I don't know what
somebody
else.
Somebody at one of these meetings mentioned, I don't know how recently it was, mentioned the Troopers.
It was
office.
The last Finance Committee meeting before the...
And so that prompted me thinking, I had a conversation with Ross about, you know, is there a way where we can house the Trooper in one of the school buildings, and that would free up the house? Would that free up the house for staff or people that are in the portables or
selling it?
Different?
And selling for nothing visibility wise, to have a Trooper stationed at the school would not be a bad idea.
So that prompted the conversation of,
that's great.
You know, if we have space, can we make it available for to free some other things up possibly? And then we talked about the portables. I know there's an expense to that. Is there a way we can get creative with the current space we have so we don't need the portables, and that would save the town some money? Again, I don't know if that's possible, but I think it's worth a conversation exploring and challenge us.
We may get some other good ideas out of it as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even if we don't do those, there may be something else you didn't even think of, just because you're moving pieces around in your head and here you are.
Without the brainstorming, then none of this happens. So
I'm sure.
So maybe
the Troopers building, I was thinking that the town bought it, which we did, but we used 80% state money. So now you can't put it in the chopping block.
You can't sell it, you mean? Is that what you're
saying? Can't sell it, right.
Could you repurpose it?
That building's in pretty rough shape.
Okay.
Well, you might find a tenant who wants to. If you negotiate, you know, again, I wouldn't just rule it out. Just let's talk about it, because there's other creative business arrangements you can make where the town would still own the property. You could do a long-term lease with a proviso someone fixes it up for a business or something.
Yeah. You know, or you could do, you know, like, let's say you built it into like a coffee shop and had some of the school culinary stuff happening there.
Yeah. There's any number of possibilities. Just again, it's like, okay, yeah, I heard that about, we can't sell it, but there's still things you can do. Yep. Same thing with Indian Notch Park. Maybe you can't sell that, but can you put it out as have it be a concession that a third party vendor runs to provide the service to the town, and we get a cut of the fees and the revenue they bring in, as opposed to it's being an expense that we do.
Because they're going to find the most efficient way to and not necessarily the best way, but the most efficient way to fix some of these places up if they had the ability to, because that's the way that then they are able to make
and they may need to it. Yeah, we may need to talk about terms of lease so that they can recoup their investment if we're requiring them or asking them to put in some improvements up front. It's just a new way of looking at things, and just to say, okay, yeah, boxes to work in can be exciting if you look at them the right way, because you have to see how do we make it work, and you have to be creative and clever with it. And sometimes it's more fun than you get everything handed to you. So I just say, let's look at it that way. It can be interesting. It can be fun, and it'll help us, you know, with the budget.
I'd rather spend my time coming up with creative solutions to generate more income for the
than
town
than doing six
than spending the time finding reductions.
Right. Oh, and it's not only your time, it's the time of the town staff, and there's a cost and worry among your teachers. I know a word. I've already talked to some town staff. They're worried that we're going to have the same situation that affects productivity and people's ability to do their jobs or want to even stay here in this town, in this job. So, yeah, in some ways it's more work, but you get less work out of putting the investment in, I think. Anything else under this? Because we still have a couple of other items.
I also do, this is subcommunication, right?
Yeah.
All right. I do want to say it's helpful to have these dialogues with the town on a regular basis and hope that the public comment session of these meetings will continue to be a good forum to get these ideas both to us and from us.
Yeah. And we did put extra money in our budget for next year for communication, so there is nothing that prevents us from doing a few little things. We can host our own.
Mm-hmm.
Our own sessions if we feel that they're needed to have discussion about how do you feel about getting rid of garbage collections? How do you feel about, you know, I hear you don't want to have a high school. What do you think that looks like? You know, have the conversation with them, let them talk about it and just see where we go. I personally, you know, it's like, just have that conversation so people feel they're listened to and they understand what they have to think. And even can do some workshops with people like that where here, okay, you don't want to have a high school here. Here's your constraints. How do you make this thing work? You know, and have them come up with some ideas.
I was going to say, it is also a place where some of those creative ideas bloom and then someone else takes it and runs with it.
Yeah. Whoever thinks of it doesn't necessarily have to be the one who does it.
Right.
And some of this, it would be good to put back on the people in the town who suggested to have them feel valued and contributing to this. So anything else under the communication budget calendar then? And I don't know what else to put on here until we go and start having. So we pick the, you know, until we pick the, set the budget on May 7th. Because typically after that, you guys already know what the schedule is going to be. It's referenda every 2 weeks after one on the, what is it, the 19th. They're going to be every 2 weeks till we're done with this. So there's an assumption that after each one of those, you're going to have the next day, a special meeting to decide what to do next. So we should think about, and we had started doing them last year early in the day.
Early is early. Because
I
have a teacher over here.
Oh. So, again, I don't know. You can do them in the evening. It just delays getting the ballots printed, which makes the question and budget amount decided, which then makes it a little longer to get the ballots printed, which just delays the absentee ballot a day or two.
Yeah, which can be tricky.
So we can think about it.
Okay.
Hoping
we don't get there.
So right now you want to keep the special meetings at 5:30. Does that work?
I think for the first one.
That one on the 20th. Oh, yeah. And then we have operating compensation.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about earlier because sometimes it's harder for the public to sit in and listen to them as well as for some of the folks here who are still working to get back here. So let's do that one at 5:30. We can set, you know, at that time we can go and take a look at what do we want to do from here.
Keep that as a,
Can I ask a question about the charter?
You just asked a question, but go and ask. Can I ask a question?
So the charter, does the charter set when we have to do our first budget referendum?
I don't think so. There's a date by which you have to do them, I think. It's going to look it up. We're actually earlier than it says you can do them because Lori Bushnell wanted them earlier to get more done, which has may or may not help because you may not have the information that you would have later.
Correct. But
we'll give it a try.
It says the proposed budget as recommended
by the Finance Committee shall be presented to the annual budget referendum to be held not later than the 25th of
May. I was just looking at that. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
We're going, you can do it earlier.
So we, okay. Now, is the charter something that can be adjusted, changed?
You have to set up, yes, you can. It's a little bit of work because you have to set up a charter review commission, get appropriate party representation with it, have various meetings to decide what you want to change, and then public hearings, and then you have to do a referendum and have the public vote on do they approve or disapprove the various changes.
I think we just did that 5 years ago, 4 years.
And state specifies a minimum that you do it every 10 years, I believe. Nothing that says you couldn't do it every year if you wanted to go through the hassle.
They boiled it down to 7 questions, was it?
Yeah, that one of them was about.
It was a big ballot.
So 25th isn't bad because it puts the first referendum before Memorial Day most years.
Yeah, I just feel like unless we're in a different position than where we are now, this first referendum is always going to be a no. I mean, and it's so early.
Yeah.
May 19th. Well, you know, it's and then we're paying however much money to do this referendum. So that, you know, we don't have all our
information.
School's in, the kids are not gone, the parents aren't gone. You get into June, the end of June.
June, July can be tough. So,
We'll try it and we'll see if it works.
This is something new. It's one of these things. Let's try things. It was Lori suggested it. We said we'd give it a try. Let's see how it works. If it doesn't work, you know what? We don't have to do it again.
I would be interested in seeing some historical data on when budgets have been, because I can remember from my childhood some of them being really early, like May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, that time frame. I can remember them being really early, and that puts this one looking late. Like there's one, oh gosh, is it, it's either Hebron or Salem. I drove past the sign today.
Hebron's is next week.
It's next week, next Tuesday.
They already have the no votes out.
Well, signs. And big red font.
Yep. So let's keep, it sounds like we'll keep the budget calendar as is. We should keep that as an open mic, because again, just because we did it this way this year doesn't mean we have to do it the same way next year, as long as we work within the constraints of the charter.
Yep.
There's actually a fair amount of leeway to do things differently within that, the dates the charter sets. I mean, just look at the presentation that, you know, Stephanie put together. We still have all the stuff that is painful that the charter requires is in the back.
Yep.
And the part that makes it all understandable is up front.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to cut to the chase on some of the ideas, like having recurring graphics throughout the year that look like the ones that end up in the presentation.
Yes.
Is like, it's the same. You know where to go find the information that you're looking for. You know where it is. You know, like, here's what we propose. Here's what the new information is. And here's the updated graphic.
Yeah.
And if you wanted, you could do an animation to show how it changed from the year. You just make it up the slides.
You just got to be careful.
Well, you might want to get a high school student to do that. They know more about those Word tools rooms.
Just like David. Total assessment value is changing every day.
And some of those you'll have to like put asterisks on, like, hey, this is an ever moving number, but
just put an ish after
it.
Or the little,
or round to it, like, you know, let's say you round to the nearest 100,000, 10,000.
It's directionally, this is where we're we're going. That has to just be the understanding. Directionally, it's in there. And the closer you get at the beginning of the year, it may be plus or minus 50%. When you get to the end, closer to the end of the year, you're down to plus or minus 5 on some of these. And then you're down to, this is it.
And well, and last comment before we move to transfer, it allows the public an opportunity to say, hey, this isn't what I don't like about this graphic. But it also is an opportunity to just not have something new all of a sudden during the
pregnancy. Because then it's the consistency of it. Right. They know where it came from and they can follow it if we want. And we could show them if they ask.
But it'd be nice to see the chart with the taxes, the commercial side get bigger.
Yeah.
It would. I agree.
Then we've got to get a plan to do that.
Yeah.
So let's go on then to new business. You have a transfer on here?
Yep. Do we need to make a motion?
Well, I want to see the transfer first and take a look at that and make sure we understand it. And one of them is for us. Oh, no, that's the question. No. Never mind. The question.
I haven't filled any more question answer.
Would you entertain a motion? Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'll entertain a motion to approve the transfer for the town building operations budget.
I'll make a motion to transfer for the budget of town building operations from administration category legal services to town building operations category repair and maintenance services for a total of $15,000.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
So a motion was made by David Cole, seconded by Rodney Fournier. Any further discussion? Then, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Me. So it's
601.
It's all ayes except me with one abstention and no nays. So I need to sign this and say that we approve this. This goes back to finance, I believe. So let me take care of that now, and I will give it to you, Stephanie, and you can take it back and do your thing with it.
Okay.
And let's see what else. Considering possibly act on expenditures for FY 2027. And I think that
We're waiting, right?
We're waiting on that. If you guys feel comfortable with continuing that, so no action on that. And because we took no action on that, there's no action to take on the ballot question. So then I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
David and Melissa.
David and Melissa. Any seconds now? And don't get the sites. And
no.
Okay, comments? None? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? I'm abstaining. It passes unanimously by everyone.
Two people quick around the trigger.
I know it.
So thank you, everybody.
This isn't my home court, though.
Good night, everybody.